All right, guys, how you doing? We're back. I made a mistake on the previous video, but on this video, we're actually going to be talking about negotiating instead. Before I said
we're going to talk about making offers.
Yeah, we'll get to making offers. Listen, guys, let me preface this here. You are looking at the best guy in the industry when it comes to negotiating. Not me. You're looking at Larry. There is nobody better. I'm telling you guys, Larry is the best. It's an honor and a privilege for me to be able to sit here with him and learn from him how to negotiate. Like, Larry is the king at this. He's been doing it a long time. I mean, you heard him earlier. He used to sell penny stocks, right? So he learns how to sell. He learns how to make. Sales is the $1 million skill, right? You make your money on the phone. My kids are 15 years old. My boy is 15 years old right now, and my other boy is 13. We're thinking about college. And you know what I'm thinking? I'm like, man, I don't know if they need to go to college, but if I were to ever send them to a school, and they probably will go to college, but like, I would want to make sure that they get sales training. Like, wherever they go, I want to make sure that they're also learning when they're going into business, they're learning how to negotiate and how to sell. Because no matter what business or industry you're in, if you know how to do those two things, you're going to do very, very well in life. So I'm glad you're going to be talking about this, Larry. I'm excited about it.
That's so true, man. I'm really excited about it, too, because it's one of my favorite things. I love it. But also, I got to tell you this story real quick, Joe, for everybody watching. Every morning we do a meeting, okay? And we do some kind of a training. Then we have a devotion, and we put people on the prayer board and pray for them and stuff. But we got sellers and students and stuff up there and buyers and stuff on the prayer list. But this morning, the training was about, I went around the room and I asked everybody in the office, I said, if you had to give one piece of advice to your child, grandchild, whatever, children, grandchildren, one piece of advice, what would that one piece of advice be, right? And Candace was the very first person, okay? Candace is our integrator. You know, she's like a daughter to me. I love her to death, her and her family. And Candace said, learn how to sell. Mm-hmm. That was the very first thing she said. I'm like, really? Out of everything? You know, I mean, and other people put stuff up there like be kind, treat people the way they want to be treated, the golden rule, you know, all this stuff. And the first thing Candace thought of was learn how to sell.
Yeah.
It blew me away. I thought it was awesome.
You know, the greatest salesman on earth was Jesus Christ. And I mean that in a very respectful, serious way. Like,
right.
You know, and you know what he did? He asked questions. When somebody asked him a question, he returned it with a question, right? And that's the number one skill in sales. Redirection, asking questions, asking the right questions to get to the heart of the matter. And it's a really important skill to learn, even if you're preaching the gospel, right? Learning how to sell, learning how to ask questions, super important.
It's so true. And he told stories.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Good. Preacher. He told stories. The stories that could relate to people that brought the point across of what he was trying to tell them and teach them. Yeah.
That's so true. That's so true. If you haven't read the Bible yet, okay, and this is not a, you know, we're not trying to preach here, but if you haven't read the Bible, there's two books you need to get. I don't care if you're a believer or not. It doesn't matter. Read Proverbs and read James. Read Proverbs and James. It's not going to be a lot of preachy stuff, okay? But read, it's real life application that you can use every day in your life. I promise you, you'll like it. Read Proverbs and read James. Would you agree, Joe?
It's the best business book on the planet. You can learn real practical business advice in these books, in the Bible, that can help you have a more profitable business, have an ethical business with integrity, and that kind of stuff is important. Like, it's important, especially, you know, dealing with honesty and integrity. When you're dealing with sellers and realtors and buyers, like, you need to take this seriously. You need to do what you say and say what you're going to do, and take this seriously, because I often say it takes 20 years to build a reputation. It takes 5 minutes to ruin it.
Right.
That's 1 minute.
That is so true. Hey, there's a book I want to recommend right quick. It's my all-time favorite book now, okay? And this guy is my new favorite trainer for philosophy. It used to be Jim Rohn. I love Jim Rohn stuff. Jim, R-O-H-N. He died in 2009. Great, great guy. But my new favorite is Stephen Scott. And he wrote a book called Lessons from the Richest Man Who Ever Lived. It's all about Proverbs. It's not a Christian book. It's a book about business, right? This guy did infomercials. That's how he made his living. He made infomercials, right? But it's called Lessons from the Richest Man Who Ever Lived. Great, great book. There's even a workbook that goes with it. I bought the workbook too. I mean, I'm like all in. So if you get a chance, get the book. It's on Audible as well. So if you get a chance, get that book.
I'm buying it right now on Kindle. It's $5 on Kindle.
Come on. Hey. Yeah, I love the Audible. I don't like to read. I like to listen, right? I'm listening to a book right now called The 12-Week Year or something like that.
Oh, it's that's really a good book. That's a really good book. We should do a module about our favorite books. Yeah.
Oh, exactly. At my 3-day events, Joe, not the ones where people come here to the office, but at my 3-day seminars, where I just teach for 3 days, I've got like 3 PowerPoint slides that has probably 20 or 30 books on each one of them. Mm. That's my recommended reading.
Yeah. Right now, one of my favorite business books is Profit First.
Oh, that's a good book.
I'm reading it for the second time, but this time I'm actually implementing it. It's a little embarrassing.
That's my problem. There's so many books, it's hard to implement every strategy because every book has a 12-week program where you got to do this, 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 and this. And I'm just looking for a few ideas, you know? We don't have time to change our whole business and philosophy, do we?
No. All right, but we're talking about negotiation, right?
Yeah, baby.
By the way, Larry, if we're talking about books, let's talk, what are some of your favorite sales books that we could maybe recommend to people?
My favorite sales books.
I'll tell you mine while you're thinking about it.
Anything by Grant Cardone, Sell or Be Sold. Sell or Be Sold is a great book, right?
Sell or Be Sold.
If you're not first, you're last. That's another good one.
Say that again.
If you're not first, you're last.
Good.
And Sell or Be Sold, anything by Grant Cardone, okay? There's another one out there that is called Never Split the Difference.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. You've probably read that one. Mm-hmm. It's called Never Split the Difference. It was written by I believe it was FBI hostage negotiator, talking about negotiating with hostages. It's really good. Here's a really, really, really good book. It gets really detailed, but it will really help you, and it's called Never Be Lied to Again.
Hmm.
Never Be Lied to Again. And it's all about how to recognize if someone is being truthful or not. There's specific questions you can ask and specific things you can do or say. And you can tell by looking at a person if they're being honest with you.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There's 2 books I want to mention. First one is You Can't Teach a Kid to Ride a Bike at a Seminar by the Sandler Sales Institute. Have you read that book, Larry?
No, I haven't.
You haven't. That's a classic.
You can't teach a kid to ride a bike at a seminar. Is that what it is? I've never heard of that.
I can't believe you're the premier sales negotiating expert and you've not read that book. It's from this, you've heard of the Sandler Sales Institute. It's a classic. You can't teach a kid to ride a bike at a seminar. I don't know, even know how they got that name, but and then another one I want to recommend is Go for No. Go for No is a good book. It's about yes is the destination, no is how you get there. It's about how to get, you want the seller to say no. And when you pull away and play the reluctant buyer, make them come after you.
Then you start negotiating. Once they say no, then you start negotiating from there.
Yeah. And again, that book, Never Split the Difference, is really, really good book. I think that's a good place to start. There's a lot of them. Anything Grant Cardone has is excellent as well. I don't like his 10X book, but that's just That's just me.
Well, you know, Grant, he's a whole different animal. And I like his ideas and concepts, but I don't like his whole philosophy, right? I do like his ideas. I like his concepts. But, you know, he's way too flashy for me, you know?
All right, good. So go get some good books. You just need a couple of them. Let's talk about negotiation, right?
Good. Now, we're going to start out and talk about negotiating with realtors first, okay? And then we're going to talk about direct to seller. But the first thing I want to share with you about negotiating, first of all, you got to find out who to negotiate with. On the listed property, most of the time on the MLS, it'll say listing provided by, you know, on the right-hand side. If the agent, this is at realtor.com, if the agent has paid to have their name there. If not, it'll have other agents, and those are going to be buyer's agent. You want to go direct to the listing agent, okay? Especially if you're buying in this small town, this small town, this small town, this small town. You want to go direct to the listing agent, right? So you got to find out who the listing agent is, right? And if you call up the office, you know, hey, this is Larry. I'm looking at a property at 125 Oak Street. Who's the listing agent? Let me get an agent to help you. No, who is the listing agent, right? Who is the listing agent, okay? Now, if you would rather not do that, just go to Zillow. Hopefully, you're already there anyway, and that's where you found it. Scroll all the way to the bottom, and it's going to say listing provided by, listing provided by, and it'll have the agent's name and their phone number and the company name, okay? Yep. Now, if you call that number, if you get the office, you know, you're going to get a secretary. Here's what you got to say, okay? This is very important. Here's what you got to say. You can say, hey, this is Larry. How you been? Now, who do you say how you been to? People you know, right? Hey, it's Larry. Pause a second and then say, Larry Goins. What that means is, hey, it's Larry. You should know who I am in case you don't. Larry Goins, right? So, hey, is Bob around? And then you pause a second and say, Bob Smith, right? Is Bob around? Bob Smith, right? Like, is Bob around? You should know who I'm talking about in case you don't, or there's another Bob there. Bob Smith, right? Yeah. So she's going to say something like, he's out in the field, right? I never understood why they say that. But what is he, a farmer or something? But they'll say, no, he's out in the field or something like that, or he's not in or he's not available. Here's what you do, okay? I don't know why this happens, but a lot of secretaries or receptionists are reluctant to give out an agent's cell phone number, okay? They're reluctant to do that. I never understood why, because they're on commission only. If I owned an agency, I would fire the receptionist if they didn't give out the cell phone number, if they didn't offer it in advance. Right? So anyway, here's what you say. You say, oh, I really need to get up with him, and I don't have his mobile number with me right this second. And then you just shut up and you wait. Because it's like, I have it, I just don't have it with me. But you didn't lie. You didn't say, I don't have it, or you didn't say, I do have it. Oh, I don't have his mobile number with me right this second. I really need to get up with him. And then you just shut up. Right? You appeal to their good nature.
Yeah.
Right? So then you call the realtor, okay? First of all, let's just back up. If the agent or if the receptionist won't give it to you, here's all you got to do, okay? Let's say you know that Bob Smith is the agent. He works with Keller Williams, and the name of it is, you know, I don't know, Palmetto Realty, right? Here's what you do. You go to Google, you type in Bob Smith, Keller Williams, Palmetto Realty, and then add the words sell, C-E-L-L, and add the words mobile, M-O-B-I-L-E. If his mobile number is posted anywhere on the internet, it'll pop up, right? It'll pop up. They usually have their own personal page on Keller Williams' website. And if their mobile number is there, which if they're a prudent agent, it should be, right? Yeah. Then it will pop up. right? So now you get the realtor on the phone, right? You call the realtor. You get their voicemail. You don't even get them on the first phone call. What do you say? You don't say, "Hi, my name is Larry, Larry Goins, and I wanted to get some information about your house at 125 Oak Street." No, no, forget about it. Forget about it. Here's what you say. "Hey, Bob, it's Larry. Larry Goins, how you been?" Right? It's Larry. You should know who I am in case you don't remember. Larry Goins, how you been? Mm. "Hey, man, I need to get an offer to you on 125 Oak Street. Hit me back as soon as you can." Oh, if you don't have my number handy, here it is. Right? You should have my number, right? In case you don't, here it is. Right?
I hope you guys, listen, I hope you guys are writing this down. This is really important. Really important.
It's gold. It's gold, right?
Yeah.
It all starts with, and we haven't even got them on the phone yet, right? We haven't even got them on the phone yet. But remember, "Hey, I need to get an offer to you on 125 Oak Street." Now, here's the goal. The goal is to make them wonder, is this an agent or is this a buyer?
Mm-hmm.
Right? When is this an agent? When they call you back, most of the time they're going to say, "Are you an agent?" You know you've done your job if they say that. Yeah. You know you've done your job if they say that, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, "Hey, it's Larry. Larry Goins, how you been? Hey, I need to get an offer to." I didn't say I wanted to make an offer. I didn't say I have an offer. I said I need to get an offer to you, right? They're probably thinking, "Oh, he's got an offer on my house," right? We don't have an offer yet. I said I need to get one to you. I do. When they call back, right? When they call back, then what you're going to do is, you know, "Hey, Bob, it's Larry. Larry Goins, how you been?" "Good. Do I know you?" "Nah, man, but you're going to." Right?
Yeah.
"No, but you're going to." So yeah, "I need to get an offer to you on 125 Oak Street. Tell me a little bit about it." "Oh, you don't have an offer?" "No, but I'm going to get one to you today." Mm-hmm. Right?
That's good. So, hey, can I show you something? Can
sure.
I show you something?
Absolutely.
I'm going to show my screen. This is a little trick that a lot of people don't know about. You got this property right here on Zillow. Do you see this property, Larry?
Right.
This is a property in Whitmire. Again, I was just looking.
Right.
And if you go here, it's hard to get the listing agent's phone number. It's Linda, but it's Linda Rennick. That
right.
tells me, number one, she's the broker of the realty company, but
right.
I don't see a phone number here, right? I kick contact agent. That's a phone number that's probably an office phone number.
Sure.
But if you go to express.realquest.com, express.realquest.com, and do a search for this property, I see this all over the country. A lot of times there's a tab here called for sale, and you scroll down and you can get the agent broker's contact information and their email address right here. You get the agent, it's actually Stephanie Bilger, and then the broker is Linda Rennick right here. But here I got two different phone numbers right here, and these numbers are different than the number that's here. So now I got three phone numbers. I like this site a lot, express.realquest.com, because you can get contact information. And the cool thing about this too is I have an email address. One of the things that we do, Larry, is we'll have a virtual assistant go into and send 50 to 100 emails a day to these agents saying, "Hey, we saw this property that you had for sale on 38 Wood Street in Whitmire. We are investors. I see that you have it listed for sale for, 35 here, 32.5. Are the sellers, before we send you an offer, we just wanted to ask you, are the sellers negotiable? Is the price negotiable? Would they consider something maybe in the $15,000 to $20,000 price range?" Whatever, we're just sending soft pass offers to see if the seller would be willing to negotiate on a price. And we can get our virtual assistants to send 100 of those emails every single day to all of these different houses all over the country. You're going to start getting some leads from that. Anyway, I just wanted to throw that in as a way to get realtors' email addresses and phone numbers of these listings through express.realquest.com.
That is really good. You know, and it's even more important, Joe, because if you go back to the Zillow link, we don't have to do it, but if you go back to the Zillow link, Zillow has changed their format, that the way the property looks on all their listings now. And see how the pictures are on the left and the details are on the right. It used to be the pictures were at the top and the details were the entire width. You know, it used to be you could scroll there where you're scrolling. If you scroll all the way to the bottom, it would actually have that listing person's contact info, right? Yeah. But because Zillow might be right there. Yeah. You see, it just has Linda, but it used to have the actual listing agent there. So that's even more important. I'm glad you shared that. Now, the other cool thing, while we're talking about express.realquest, you can get valuations there as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I'll go back to Express. They'll tell you up here, estimated value, $31,000. So sometimes when I am using a virtual assistant to help me make quick offers, I'll have them take the average of Appraisal, Zillow, Realtor.com, RealQuest Express, et cetera, just do the average of all of those, or take the lowest of all of them, and that would be the comp that I use, right, just to get it real quick and dirty. But yeah, RealQuest, this is all free, this information I'm showing you here. If you want to get key facts and characteristics and sales history and comps with RealQuest Express, it costs about $150 a month. It's not cheap, but this is a good place to start.
Yeah,
I was going to say one thing too. Like what you were, yeah. So if you would go to Linda Renwick, I'm going to Google Linda Renwick, and I'm going to do mobile sell. And guess what? Here's a white pages result. Linda Renwick.
You probably want to add. There you go. You probably want to add Linda Renwick Realty mobile sell on there.
So there's a phone number, and if I, there you go, there right you there. Go. There's a mobile phone number. Yep.
There you have it.
You could also do email. Let's see what we get with email.
Look at the top one.
Send a cop. Well, yeah, I don't know if we're not going to take much time going through all of this, but oh, there it is. Yeah. You just got to. This is something, again, you could have a virtual assistant do for you. And one of the things that we like to do is have virtual assistants just email soft pass offers, not contracts, soft pass offers to 50 to 100 realtors a day and see who respond, and then pick up the phone and call those realtors.
I like that, the soft pass offer. I really do like that.
All right.
That's really good.
We talked about how to get the realtor's mobile phone number, how to leave a message for them, how to price condition the realtor. What do you mean by that, Larry?
Well, price conditioning the realtor, let's say they're asking $50,000 for the house, okay? I need to be at 25, okay? Mm-hmm. I need to be at 25. So what I'm going to say is something along the lines of, you know, we buy a lot of these little houses. Unfortunately, I can't really pay a whole lot for them. You know, a little house like that, we would probably need to be somewhere in the low to mid 30s, something like that. In fact, the last house, now notice I've already price conditioned them, low to mid 30s. And now I'm going to go one step further. In fact, the last house we bought, very similar to this, I think we paid 26 or 27, something like that. It was a bank-owned property also. I'm going to throw out there, it was a bank-owned property also, or it was an MLS property also, or it was a HUD property also, something like that, to let them know you really can buy these for that cheap, right? Yeah. So, in fact, I think we paid $26,000 or $27,000. Now, you can't stop there. You can't stop. Most people, if you're a newbie and you're trying to do this, you're going to say, well, you know, I can't pay a lot for this house, low to mid 30s. In fact, the last house we looked at, I think we paid $27,000. If you stop right there, they're going to say, well, forget about it. There's no way they're going to do this. What are you, crazy? You're just wasting my time. You know, just don't even bother. There's no point in putting in an offer with that, right? Yeah. So what you have to do is you have to end with a question that's totally unrelated to what you were just talking about. For example, you know, in fact, the last house I bought like this, I think we paid $26,000 or $27,000. Do you get many listings like this?
Mm,
right? Another question would be, you know, have you had many offers on this house, right? Mm-hmm. Do you work with many real estate investors? Now, notice, I never say I'm a real estate investor. I let them figure that out, right? I never say, because so many newbies will call up, I'm a real estate investor, and I'm working with a group of individuals, and we are acquiring certain properties in your market area. Forget about it. You got to be real with people. Be down to earth and real with people, right? Yeah. So many people try to play the big role. When people call me up trying to play the big role, the very next question I ask them, or the very first question I ask them is, how many deals did you close last week? Mm-hmm. I didn't even say month. I said last week. Like I was expecting them to close a few deals a week, right?
That's good. But so I like the idea of asking questions. Somebody who's new to this, Larry, who maybe doesn't have that confidence yet, what are some good questions that they can ask realtors? Because, by the way, questions are how you control the conversation.
And that's how you lead them down a path.
Yeah, and right? It's important to do that. Even if they ask you a question back, you answer it with a question. You know, it could be just as simple as, you know what, that's a great question, but let me ask you a few questions first to see if this is even a house I'd be interested in, right? So I'm looking at your list of questions here. Is it a blower-upper or a fixer-upper, right? Like, just pick one of these. These are really good questions. Do you mind? Can you go through them real quick here, Larry, and read them?
Oh, absolutely. I would love to. I would love to. So the first thing I do when I get somebody on the phone, right, I say, did I catch you at a bad time or is this okay? Now, there's a lesson here. It's a simple lesson. But anytime you give someone what's called an alternative choice, do you want A or B? Whatever the second item is that you offer them, that's the one you want them to pick, right? For example, did I catch you at a bad time or you got a second? Notice I just said second, right? Right? Did I catch you at a bad time or you got a second? I just want to, it's like getting your foot in the door if you're door knocking, right? You got to keep them engaged, right? So
this is also negative phrasing, because if they don't know you and trust you yet, when you say something in the negative, they're going to agree with you. Like everything, if they don't know you, anything you say, they're going to disagree with automatically. So if it's a little mind trick, but if you say it in the negative, then they agree to the positive. Does that make sense?
Exactly. Exactly. You're so right, man. Thanks for pointing that out. So can you tell me a little bit about 125 Oak Street? Is it a blower upper or a fixer upper? Right? So that is an icebreaker, right? That's an icebreaker. I'm sharing with them a little bit about, you know, just kind of trying to be a little funny. You know what I mean? So we're going to find out, you know, tell me a little bit about the work that it needs. How much work does it need? Always, always, always with the realtor, follow up with the words, just a ballpark. Just a ballpark. That's very important, okay? Just a ballpark. How long has it been on the market? Now, I know how long it's been on the market, but I'm just twisting the knife. If I'm calling about it, it's been on the market at least 2 months, right? 75, 90 days or more. So how long has it been on the market? Oh, it's been on the market. Go ahead.
Let me interject something here, Larry. Before you get on the phone and start drilling them with questions after question, right? Like you take a few seconds to build a little rapport with them, right? Maybe say something funny, make fun of yourself or something like that, right?
Well, it really depends on the realtor. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the realtor may be in a hurry. Hello, this is Bob. How can I help you? Hey, Bob, sounds like you're busy. I won't take up just a minute of your time. Tell me a little bit about 125 Oak Street, okay. Right? If they answer the phone and go, nah, hello, right? I'm going to drag it out a little bit, right? Hey, Bob, this is Larry. How you been? Right? So remember, mirror and match people, right? Mirror and match people. I got to tell you, if you're in person with somebody, it will blow you away what you can get the people to do. If you're in person with somebody, and let's say they're talking to you, and they're scratching their head, you scratch your head. If they do this, you do this, right? If they do this, you do this, right? After about 10 minutes, you can start doing stuff, right? Like if you're sitting on the sofa, right, and you go like this, you know, and start talking to them, right? When they put their arm up there like that, you know you got them. You've got rapport because yeah. subconsciously they don't even know they're doing it. They're just doing it subconsciously, right?
Yeah.
It's called building rapport. And it's amazing what I've seen people do, right?
And it then, can happen really quick. It doesn't have to take hours to do.
Oh, no, no, no. 5 or 10 minutes. But listen, here's what you do. Then whenever you get ready to go for the close, you lean forward. You lean forward, right? You lean forward. Now, let me tell you how I think we're going to be able to help you, okay? Or something like that. And then they'll lean forward. And just by their body language and just by their physiology of the fact of leaning forward, subconsciously, they're paying attention because this is important, right? Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Very good.
Good. All right. So how long has it been on the market is another one. Have you had many offers? I don't say any. I say many. Have you had many offers, right? So tell me, Bob, how's the market there? You know, because we buy properties in a lot of different markets. How's the market? You know, tell me about this house. Would this be a better rental or a better house to fix and flip? Right?
Yeah. One of the questions I like to ask too is, sounds like a nice house. Sounds like a great deal. Why hasn't it sold yet? Or I'm sure it's gotten tons of offers, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Like, you know, how long has it been on the market? The very follow-up after that is, you know, why do you think it hasn't sold? Right? Why do you think it hasn't sold? Right after you ask that question. So Good. Do you get many listings like this? If they say yes, or I get a few of them, great. I'm sure we're going to be doing a lot of business together. I'm really glad we met today. Right? You want to have them. It's like fishing, right? Mm-hmm. It's like fishing. You're talking to them a little bit. When they ask you for a proof of funds and you say, I got a bank statement where I could buy 30 or 40 of these, they're like, I hooked a live one, right?
Good.
I always at some point I ask this question, do you have any other properties I need to make an offer on today? Mm-hmm. Right? Do you have any other properties? Sometimes they have a pocket listing, right? They haven't put it in the MLS yet. Maybe it's something already that's a good deal. At some point, I'm going to say, let me tell you a little bit about what we do. We buy properties. We pay cash. We could close very fast, right? By the way, you're going to love working with me. I'm not just some late night seminar junkie or went to a seminar that came through town. This is my business. This is what I do. You know, I can't buy every property and we can't make every offer work, but I got to tell you this, I've been very surprised at some of the deals we put together where the agent first said, oh, they'll never take this. And then 30 days later, they're picking up their commission check.
Yeah, that's good.
So I really look forward to working with you, right?
That's good.
And I also say something about, I use this phrase. You know, Bob, the realtors we work with love us because, and you can fill in whatever you want to there. If you're brand new, you can just say, because I do what I say I'm going to do, and we close deals, right? Or I'm going to be the easiest person you ever worked with. You're going to love working with me. I'm going to be the easiest person you ever worked with. It's going to be like found money, right? Whatever it is you want to say, right? And then whenever I go to make the offer, I tell them, you know, based on what you know about this property and this seller, this is very important. Based on what you know about this property and this seller, right? Would you like to email the seller or give them a call and let them know you got a cash price of X and see if they want you to put it on paper? Because, you know, Bob, last thing in the world I want to do is waste your time because we all know nobody gets paid until the deal closes, right?
That's good.
Now, at some point before that, I've already said, based on what you're telling me, it looks like I probably need to be around X. And I might say the low to mid-30s, something like that. Looks like I probably need to be around the low to mid-30s, okay? So based on what you know about this seller, would you like to email the asset manager if I know it's a bank-owned property? See, I'm using their terminology. You want to use their terminology. If during the conversation they're using the term listing, well, this listing, that listing, I'm going to use the word listing instead of house or home. I never use the word home with the seller anyway, right? I use the word house. I use the word home with the buyer, okay? Because remember, home is where the heart is, not house is where the heart is, right? I want them to be emotionally detached from it, okay? So, yeah. Based on what you know, and a lot of times the realtor will come back and they'll say, well, you know, I've never done business with you. This seller requires, we've got to put it on paper. I need a copy of the bank statement, you know, all that stuff. You know, need a copy of your bank statement, need a proof of funds, need a copy of the contract, all that stuff. When you submit that to me, then we can go ahead and move forward. I can say, you know, that's fine. That's not a big deal at all. I'd be glad to do that. In fact, I'm probably sending you a bank statement showing we can close 30 or 40 of these tomorrow. However, check this out. Most of the realtors I work with on a regular basis and do a lot of deals with, now think about those words. Most of the realtors I work with on a regular basis and do a lot of deals with, they typically have the kind of relationship with their seller or asset manager where they can just shoot them a quick email or give them a quick call and say, I got a cash buyer in this range, and then see if they want them to put it on paper. Because we both know nobody gets paid until the deal closes. The last thing I want to do is waste your time. So let me ask you a question, Bob. Do you have that kind of relationship with your asset manager?
That's good. You see, what Larry's doing
on them.
Yeah. He's not sounding, Larry's not the desperate motivated buyer.
Right.
He's phrasing it as, I don't want to waste your time. Really what he's meaning is, I don't want to waste my time. Right.
But I never say that. Never, yeah. Ever, ever, guys. Listen, never, ever say, I don't want to waste my time. Don't even say, I don't want to waste your time or mine. Say, I don't want to waste your time. Because we both know nobody gets paid till the deal closes, right? So the realtors I work with I work with and close a lot of deals with and make a lot of money with, they have the kind of relationship with their asset manager where they can shoot them a quick email. What about you? Do you have that kind of relationship? See, I'm putting it off on them. They're almost embarrassed to say, oh, no, Larry, I don't have that kind of relationship, right?
Right. So there's a certain point, too, where you got to pull away. Larry isn't just saying, yes, I'll do whatever you want, right? Like, he's pulling away a little bit and drawing them to him, and he's not chasing them. See, there's this thing of the harder you chase them, the faster they'll run. And if they sense that you're not serious, you know, you're not a real player, they'll start making you jump through their hoops. And you want to try to change that as gently as possible. And make them jump through your hoops if you can, or get them to say no. I might even say something like, if they're bringing up too many things that I have to do, I might say, this just doesn't sound like a deal I'm going to be interested in if I have to jump through all these hoops. I can send you a bank statement that shows I can buy 30 or 40 of these things today, but it just doesn't sound like I'm even anywhere near the ballpark. Am I just wasting your time asking that question? Get a no. And when I'm talking to sellers, we'll talk about sellers next. I oftentimes tell the sellers, it sounds to me like you just probably list this with a realtor and pull away.
Yeah, that's true. With individual sellers, absolutely. That's true. Now with the realtors, you know, I want to let them know that, you know, I'm not going to pay their price. I also want to let them know, as I mentioned earlier, I use this line that I say, something along the lines of, well, you know, I've worked with a lot of realtors that couldn't believe the deals that we put together. And initially they thought, well, there's no way the seller's going to even counter to this offer, right? Because remember, guys, your goal with your first offer is to get a counter. Your goal is not to buy the house for that first number. Because when you're working with a realtor, it's listed here. You need to be here, but your first offer is here. You need to be here, you're going to sell it for here, or if you're seller financing, you're going to sell it for here, right? But your first offer needs to be below what you can actually pay for it, okay? That's very important, because you can't offer your max, and then they come back and counter here, you got nowhere to go. Your goal on your very first offer is to get a counter. That's your goal, get a counter, right? In fact, Here's something. When you follow up with the realtor in a week, because 90% of them won't follow up with you, when you follow up with the, that's very important. When you follow up with the realtor in a week and they say, no, they didn't even counter. Here's what you say. You say, look, I know I'm not going to buy it for this, but they're not going to sell it for this. Why don't they send me a counter and let's keep the negotiating going so in 30 days we can all get paid, right? Because if they don't send me a counter, it's a dead deal. We're dead in the water. Let's keep this thing going so we can all make a little bit of money. How about that?
That's really good. I hope everybody watching this is pausing the video and writing down these questions that Larry has given us. Now, we're going to have a transcription of this video, but like these questions are really good. You need to write them down and study them. You don't have to memorize them, but just study them. We're not giving you fancy scripts, but we're giving you questions, really good questions that you can ask and practice with realtors. And you know, it takes a little bit of time. Right out the gate, you start doing this, you're not going to be good as Larry. Don't try to be Larry, just try to be yourself. But what I like to do is list all these questions down as I'm talking to the realtor, and as they're talking, I'm thinking, okay, what do I say next? You can look at the questions and, okay, that's a good question. And then you can ask them that question next. So don't think about remembering these scripts. Think about what are some good questions that I can ask. Larry, you've got some good questions here, like on how to get their email address. You say, do you mind if I get your email address so I can buy more houses from you? That's a good one.
It is good. You know, because, and think about the phraseology, okay, or phraseology, I should say. Do you mind if I get your email address so I can buy some more houses? I hadn't bought the first one yet, but in their mind, I want them to think, oh, he's going to buy more houses from me, right?
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
It's almost like hypnotic sales techniques, which is another good negotiating book, right?
Yeah. The other thing you ask them is, do you have an automatic email notification list you can put me on? Realtors love to put people on their buyers list, their notification list, right? And to ask them, hey, listen, put me on your list. I'd love to. Or sometimes I'll say, can I send you my contact information? I'm just asking them. And who would say no to that? Yeah, you can send me your contact. Right. Well, okay, who do I send it to? Where do I send it to?
Right.
And that's how you get their email address.
Now, guys, the main thing you got to learn is everything I'm teaching you, it's not going to work every time. For example, if you say, you know, do you have that kind of relationship where you can just call them or email them? They're going to say, this lender doesn't work like that, right? This lender, this bank doesn't work like that. I had one tell me that a while back. This lender doesn't work like that. You know what my response was? Huh, that's kind of funny. The last three I bought from them, that's how we started out.
Yeah.
Right? The last three I bought from them through another agent, right? That's how we started out. Right? But it's not going to work all the time. It's not going to work all the time. And so if they say, well, I need this, I need this, I need this, I got to get it in a contract, or I got to get a contract, I got to get a proof of funds letter, all that stuff. Here's what I say. That's fine. That's not a problem at all. I tell you what, you go ahead and prepare all the paperwork and send it to me and I'll sign it. Mm-hmm. Now I'm making them work, right? I'm making them work, and they're not happy about that.
Well, Larry, right? do you ever, I love that, by the way. Do you ever offer to them to represent you so they can get both sides of the commission?
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up. Because a lot of times they will ask me, because they could tell I know what I'm doing, hey, are you an agent? Here's what I say. I say, well, as a matter of fact, I am licensed. However, I want you to know up front, I don't plan on splitting any commission with you. I want you to keep 100% of the commission. All I want you to do is help me get this deal closed.
Yeah.
So make some money.
That's so good right there. That's so good, because now they're asking you to bring them all this stuff. And you say, well, listen, great. If you can prepare it for me, I'll sign whatever you send me. Right?
That's right. Now, some realtors, let me back up a little bit. Some realtors, when you get them on the phone, the listing agent, you're on the phone with the listing agent, and the first thing they say is, I don't work with buyers. I don't work with buyers. Right? To me, I never understood that, right? So I'm like, I'm sorry, I didn't understand. You said you don't work with buyers? That's right. You're going to have to go through a buyer's agent. Huh. Wow. So let me ask you a question. I don't really have a buyer's agent, right? But what you're telling me is instead of going directly to you, and nobody knows more about the property than you because you're the listing agent, what you're telling me is I need to find another agent so I can go through them and ask questions. They can go back to you. You can go back to them, get the questions answered, and then I could submit my offer through them so you can split your commission with them. Is that what I'm hearing? Maybe I'm a little confused, right? So that's what I'm hearing? Yep, that's what you're hearing. Yep. So check this out. Okay, that's not a problem. Who's the best agent in your office? They can't tell you it's me. They can't tell you that. They already disqualified themselves.
Why would a realtor say that anyway? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know. It happens. It happens about 30% of the time. I don't work with buyers. I only do listings, especially the ones that only work with banks, right? Because all they do is smooth a few asset managers and get some listings. You know, they get lazy. I don't mean all realtors aren't lazy. I work with a lot of realtors and they love me, right? Because I tell them they're going to.
Well, that's just strange. I mean, unless they have certain rules that they can't have dual agency or they can't represent both sides or something like that. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, some of them just don't want to work with buyers. They don't want to deal with buyers at all. They're in their little box, and they only want to do listings. Listings, listings, listings. That's it, right? So it'll come up about a third of the time, right? And that's what you say when it comes up. I don't work with buyers. And then when you go through that whole thing, then you're going to say, so who's the best agent in your office, right?
I love that. They're stuck. It's a good question. I am, but I'm not.
I know. If they say, well, I am, wow, really? But you're turning down business. That's pretty crazy, huh, Joe?
Yeah, I like that. Okay, good.
That's pretty crazy.
Let's talk about negotiating with small town sellers.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to talk about sellers but we're going to, on the next video, we're going to do the sellers. And this is going to be a huge, huge training. And I'm going to show you all different kind of one-liners. If you like the realtor negotiating technique, the sellers, direct to seller, it's going to blow you away, some of the things that we share. So make sure you watch the next one. And we're gonna share a tremendous amount, and it's gonna blow you away. Some of the things that you can do to buy properties at deep, deep discounts in small towns.
Very good. And we're gonna have simple questions that you can write down and ask the sellers. This is Larry's specialty, like a fine tune.
I've got a one call close script. A one call close script. You can literally buy a house in 10 minutes over the phone.
I love it. All right, so that's our next video. Thank you, everybody. We'll be back in a little bit. We'll see you.